Welcome to This Is Our Earth podcast. I am Sylvia Puentes, and I invite you to these amazing conversations that explore the wonder and magic of connecting with our beautiful planet. Inspired by El Lugar, the Place, originally a book by Gary Douglas, and now being actualized on our earth as we speak. What can we each be that would create a sustainable living earth? So hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Is Our Earth. And I have not only a beautiful being, but a magical being. And Katarina, I'll let you say your last name.
Valentin.
Valentin. So Katarina, I mean, there's so many ways I can introduce Katarina, and I almost just want to say a magical being, but she's also a certified facilitator of Access Consciousness and an author. And the part about the author is what I'm bringing with, you know, to all of you today, because there is some magical books that she's brought out to the world, with the most recent one called The Baby Stardust Manifesto. So welcome, Katarina.
Thank you. And the book is actually by myself and Dr. Dane here. And it's part of a trilogy that we've been working on for a few years now. And the first book was called The Baby Unicorn Manifesto. And that was written really in celebration and honor of one of our friends who had her first child. And then that unicorn book. And it was about really trusting yourself and what you should hear when you are born, how magical and how miraculous and how amazing and unique you are. And then we follow that book up by the book for all the ones that don't feel like unicorns and actually has other things going on in their lives and when they're kids, which was called The Baby Dragon Manifesto. And that was about, you know, kids who like set everything on fire accidentally and then are wondering what else is going to happen now and why do I always feel wrong in the midst of my potency. And for me, that book was really, I really felt like a dragon, not like a unicorn. And then after that, we had a lot of suggestions what the next book should be about, all kinds of mystical creatures and all kinds of stories. And the thing that kept pinging was something about our planet, something about the earth. And we played with that for a while. And when this book came, The Baby Stardust Manifesto, it really, once it was there, it was like the earth co-wrote it. It literally just like, in one day, we had like the base written and then we, you know, played with all the words and the way it actually, the story tells.
And I love the magic of how each book, you know, arrived, you could say, in the sense of there was just a different invitation, a different way to reach not only babies or kids. Because I think at the beginning, I remember when you, Dr. Dane, read that book, I believe in Italy, Rome, yeah. Read it out loud, the Baby Dragon book. And there was a quick idea of like, oh, this is baby. But as you read the book and I invite people, we'll put up the link so that you guys can, you know, purchase them or see videos that we have of them. But I remember at the very end, I was like, oh, wow. Like it touched me as an adult. It was such a beautiful reach to a place of whatever that was. And I remember someone asking Dane as I was walking by, they're like, what if it doesn't reach you? What if this book doesn't reach you? Like they felt that they were so wrong that it couldn't reach them. So brilliantly to have the next one be the dragon one, but is there anything you can say about that, how it reaches different people or?
Well, I think I'm so glad you said that because it really isn't. It is a children's book and it is a book for young beings. And it is so much a book for adults and for the young being or the child or the baby within all of us in all kinds of different ways. And this thing, even there, you know, the division between different kinds of literature, this literature is for children and this literature is for teenagers and this literature is for older people. I've never ever bought, I read a lot of teenage books. I enjoy them thoroughly. Still, I read a lot of children's books. And I think that we are ageless in so many ways that these books are really for talking to whoever you are within that day and whatever you require to hear that day.
And as you say that, there's that whatever you require to hear, but also this part that, you know, you would have asked me 11 years ago, you know, infinite being or being, I would have been, what? Like I had never even considered the being. Like I was walking around the planet going, all right, you know, I'm married, I got a full-time job, I, you know, like all the things that you think you need to do to, I don't know, live on this planet, get it right. And there's a body of work that Dr. Dane facilitates out in the world, has created this incredible book, Being You, as well. And these books have that energy, like you're talking about, they reach out to your being. And that is very few, I mean, I don't see that or hear that in many things, and more every day. But how does the Stardust, the manifesto, the baby manifesto, the baby Stardust manifesto, I should have put the title right next to me and I didn't, but how does that book reach to you, the individual, different than the other books?
Well, you know, you put this so beautifully with that they are talking to your being, and that is really what all those books are doing. I never really looked at it like that. I get that, I know that. And funnily enough, I think one of the things that the Stardust book does is that it actually addresses that in a very nearly physical way, because one of the things the book talks about is that we are all made of the stuff of stars. We're all made of stardust. You are, I am, the trees around us, the earth is made of stardust. Like everything is made of stardust. And that part of us that is connected so clearly to everything that we interact with, people and animals and plants and the very earth that we walk on. So for me, one of the gifts with that book is that you actually get to nearly look at it differently. You can kind of like look at your being as that stardust within you. And what we say is that what the planet is asking you to do is to have the stardust come alive, even more alive. And that is really like your being coming more alive. And you can perceive that also in the trees and the plants and the earth. So it's nearly like the Baby Stardust Manifesto is taking what we talked about in the Dragon and the Unicorn book, and it's bringing it bigger and talking about how we're all connected and how we're all part of an exploding star or exploding stars at some point.
And I love the magical part of it. You know, I'm grateful. There's certain things I start to investigate, you can say, or choose to look into more as, you know, friends and different people are like, oh, I started to do this. And this exploration of the stars, I actually have an app on my phone now, you know, so like, it's so fascinating. So the gift of this book and the invitation to have that bigger picture and go, oh, I'm part of that? Like, little old me? Yeah.
And it reminds me of this phenomenon that really fascinates me. It's called the overview phenomenon. I think it's called the overview phenomenon. And it's when astronauts, you know, whatever they are, the people that go to the moon, or when they view the Earth from the outside, their whole perspective shifts. There's no way that part of that separation, and we're a country and you're another country and here's another, they look down at Earth and they get that sense that that's where everyone lives, every story, every history, every development, every discovery, all of that is in that little tiny ball that they see from up there. And it completely shifts how they view themselves in relationship to everyone and everything. And it's such a clear phenomenon that it's been studied with astronauts. They're not that many of them, but still they can see it, that it really does occur. And I think what you're talking about is, what if the world right now is starting to get this on a much bigger scale, where we are able to kind of perceive ourselves as a part of this planet, but also as part of the universe. We are part of the universe. We happen to live on Earth, and we are part of the whole universe, and the Earth is like one planet. That whole perspective, what would that change in the world if we could embrace that?
I love that. And thank you for that. And then as you're taking that journey of imagining, there's a lot of movies that you can, begin to see the Earth as the from the view of the astronaut. And it is, this world of no separation. I just like, what would it take? And the gift of stories like yours and Dr. Dane's, I'm so grateful, because what if that shift in perspective and even the times we're living now, how much is that contributing? Because it's like everything that's it's happening around the world to everyone, this whole situation, shutdowns and all. But it's like, yeah. So for me, this podcast, This Is Our Earth, is part of that. It's part of inviting us to go, what am I choosing today? What am I creating? Who am I being that's contributing to really truly getting this is our earth, like all of ours. And we get to create it and choose how it will show up by everything we do.
And it's what you just said is also so important. Like you, it's about your point of view. So you can view the pandemic in very many different ways. And a lot of people have written about how the borders are stronger than ever and how countries are, nationalizing their vaccine production, all of that. And all of that is also occurring. And then there is this point of view, how you're looking at it, which is this is happening to all of us. Or this is getting created all over the world simultaneously. And that is a very different entry point than everything is getting closed down and people. So what if you instead of what if the point of view we had is this is a common experience? It's an experience we're all are having. We're having it in different ways, like all experience it, but what if it does bring us closer? What if that actually is what is occurring? And that is where we put our energy and our point of view, and that is then what will get created. So I'm very fond of this, the wolf of possibilities, where the wolf you feed is the wolf that will win. So if we feed the wolf of hope, that's what will win. If we feed the wolf of despair, that's what will take over. So yes, the wolf of no separation, of infinite being, of this is our earth. That's the wolf we should feed.
Yes. And that's actually a podcast that you just started. Yes.
Yeah, it is. And I keep, since I just started it, I keep looking at it for all kinds of different areas. Yeah, I'm exploring how every single area of living, of life, of work, of what we create in the world, you can choose one perspective, or you can choose many, but you could choose to have the perspectives of hope and possibility, or you can choose to have the perspective of what's wrong, this disaster, how can it get worse than this? And just by having this podcast talking about the possibilities in every area, the way I see it, that is even contributing, like you're saying, to that perspective being bigger in the world. So yes, it's my newest podcast, and so far we've only had two episodes. So the third one is coming out this Thursday.
And I love it. I love, just the different angles of reaching this idea of we have choice really by what we choose, what wolf we feed, and the gift of your stories, yours and Dr. Dane's trilogy here is this tickle of a reminder of the magic of the non-wrongness that we be. I say non-wrongness because the wrongness is so strong, right? But you're not wrong. That's something that I desire more on the planet. And what a magical way to bring it in through a baby manifesto trilogy. We're like, oh, I'll read that. I've gifted the book and this recent one I haven't purchased yet. But for people that are interested, you can Google it and there's a YouTube video where both you and Dr. Dane read part of the book, right?
Yeah, there is. And you can actually find it if you can remember this very long name that Sylvia keeps forgetting. So if you go to the babystardustmanifesto.com, you find the video there and you'll find all the different links. And you can just go there and explore it. And the video is also on Dr. Dane here's YouTube channel if you want to see it. And you get a sense of the book when we read it and with the video. I wanted to mention something else when you were saying this magical part, because one of the things with the book that we write about in the book is this: we truly live on a magical planet. The way our planet has created itself, which allows us to come alive, which allows the stardust to come alive, the enormous intricate system that is required for every, I mean, just you know, to have a climate that we can exist in and air that we can breathe, but also how everything really way beyond what we even discovered yet, how everything works together, plays together, creates together. That's one of the, like, that sense of that magic, and to walk out with that in the earth, on the earth, with the earth, is such a gift to us, just walking in magic when we walk in the earth. So that's one of the, like, what I would hope this book would also create is, like, remind people, oh, then we live on a magical, unique planet, the only one in our solar system that has created this, where the stardust can come alive.
Yes, I love that. I, as you were saying that, I recall years ago when I started to travel, and I would always sit by the window. I always wanted to look out the window. And I remember on one flight, it was like I went through oceans and mountains and desert and snow. And I thought, oh my gosh, does everybody get this? Like all these climates on one round sphere, you know, so what you're saying. And I remember going, oh my gosh, what an incredible planet.
Yeah.
Like all the changes. And, you know, I tend to still travel, maybe not as far, but get around. And I am, there is this level of gratitude for the planet and what it gifts us with the sunrise, the sunset, the wind, the rain. And I started to notice that as I gift the gratitude, there's something that shows up that comes back. And I don't know if it's that it comes back, but there's some magical part. I know Dr. Dane's spoken of it, but you also have another book. You have several books.
Yeah.
Not only this trilogy, but what is it that you know it's about?
The Clara and the Climate Changer? Is that the one you're thinking? Yeah. I'm helping you with titles today. Yeah, that it's actually a it's another children's book. It's a little more of a story, like a longer story. It's kind of a ride you go on with this girl named Clara, and how she, in the beginning of the morning, somehow gets a climate changer, and then how she gets that into action during the book. And the interesting part about the book was I wrote this book many years ago. Probably I wrote it when my daughter was like 5, 6, and she's 18 now. So that's a lot of years ago. And we had been out walking, and she looked at me, said, "Mom, why are there so many more cars than people in the streets?" You know, in the actual driving streets. And I, you know, I answered something probably parenty, but then I went home and I looked at that and I'm like, it's an interesting point. And this whole story again, like plop, came, and I wrote it all down. I sent it to a few publishing companies in Sweden, and I got 2 replies back where they said, it's way too provocative. This book is too provocative to be published right now. And I'm like, wow, okay. So at that time I didn't have the access tool. So I kind of put it away and I let it be for a while. And then my mom got cancer a few years ago, and she was talking to me and she's like, I really would like to see that book in print before I die. And I'm like, okay, I have a mission. So I rewrote it in English. I got an illustrator and I published it through Access Consciousness Publishing. And it came out that way. And at this time, it's not actually provocative. It's not that provocative because, you know, so much time has passed and the world is so much more aware of climate and what's required and what's not required. And the book still has a very clear message that anyone has the potency and the choice to change the world if they, when that possibility comes, chooses to take it and go with it. So it's one of those books where if you would like to empower children and adults to start choosing something that really, like you're saying, what choices are we making to create a sustainable earth? And that's really what that book is about. And you kind of go on this ride through the day and what happens at the end. So yes, you can go and explore that too, if that sparks anything in the stardust within you.
Oh, thank you so much, Katarina. One thing I haven't asked you is, when did you start to write or acknowledge that you had an ease with writing? Because you have several books out now, and most people have these ideas and perhaps tuck them away, write them out but never bring them out. Like, what was that like for you, and what would you invite people that maybe have those stories tucked away?
Well, I would say that I always loved writing. And actually, I always loved reading. I'm a complete book nerd. I read every book in the library. I even read out our library when I was a kid. Like I read all the books in the youth and kids section. So I had to move over to the adult section and read all the science fiction books. And then I read all those. And so the librarian really, had a challenge trying to find me new books. I read very fast and I like dived into it. And for me, reading was really the way I created a reality where I like to be. I wasn't that happy in the normal reality of life at that time. And books were just such an amazing world. You could go into all these different worlds by reading books. So then I started, of course, to write in different ways. I always wrote ever since I was a kid. I always wrote, and I wrote a lot of different stories. A lot of stories that I still haven't published, a lot of stories that I'm like working on simultaneously. What I do get is that if you love writing, I think you actually have to love writing. It takes a lot of time to, it sounds like these stories just came, and there's a difference between the story coming and then sitting down on your butt and actually writing it and rewriting it and then rewriting it again and then getting feedback and then having no point of view about the feedback and then actually looking at what would work and rewriting. So it's a process that both requires that, like the spark and then the tenacity to actually sit there and write it. And then I would ask really for that ping, is now the time? Because so many of us have this half written, half ideas laying around, and like really start asking, okay, is now the time for this book? The Clara book really probably wasn't the time when I wrote it. And then it had to like hang out for a few years. And then it was the time for that to come out in the world. So ask if it's the time, and then also be willing, if you really have that, like this book has an energy and it would like to go out and change something in the world. It may not be a big thing. It may just be getting somebody to laugh, or it may be like creating a whole new way of looking at something that nobody ever has looked at before. Or it may just be because you love writing and you want to, write something that's inside you that would like to come out and become its own being in the world. And then actually give that the time and energy, like invest in your own stardust sparks, really. When that is there, like do put the time and the energy and the caring and the gratitude and the honor for that project and stick with it. I have a project right now that I'm finishing that we've been working on for a lot of time. And this end part is always like correcting things, like little things. And you're like, okay, now this will occur, because otherwise that book will never come out. You have to do the whole way. So I'm not sure if that was helpful. Listen to, I right now, I really, if it helps you, I would say listen to that stardust within and see what it is that makes it come alive, and then do that.
I love that. That's beautiful. Listen to that stardust within, that spark, that, wow. Thank you, Katarina. Thank you for just who you be, because there's this, there's truly this magical, whimsical energy of you that, I get to receive every time I interact or hear you, whether it's in a meeting or in a podcast or, you reading these incredible books out loud. So thank you. Anything else you'd like to add? Anything you have coming up?
No, I think that's for this. I think this is, there's so many different things going on in our world, which I love and being created. And right now, just if any of this inspired you, go and have a look at the Baby Stardust book. So I'm sure we'll put the link under and see if that video inspires something in you.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening to This Is Our Earth. Thank you, Katarina. And we look forward to you spreading this podcast and having this stardust go around the globe. So good night, everyone. Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to inspire new actions and conversations that empower us all to know that we are the ones creating the future. If you'd like a way to contribute to our podcast, please leave a review wherever you listen. And for information about Alugar, visit l-lugar.com. Thank you.